Okay, we come untied. We got two of these up here.
Which one you have on already?
All right.
You already have one
on. Yeah.
You don't need the other one.
This is it. Okay. It fell off. Well.
We can hear you.
Yeah, I bet you can hear me anytime. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a mechanic. Can you put that together? Y'all really want to hear him? I think that's it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
All right. I'm going to get rid of this before I tear something up. Ooh, did I do that? Open your Bibles to Matthew, the 28th chapter, verse 18. Well, it's a good crowd. I tell you what, that was a very special. I liked it. Two of my favorite singers are singing it. Two of my favorite preachers, too. All right. Look at Matthew 28:18. I'm going to read just about three verses here to start off with. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That's known as the Great Commission. And it's marching orders from the Lord Jesus Christ to His church. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, to be in a gathering of believers that believe your word, preach your word, pass your word out. May many people read the tracts and gospel things that were passed out, and some get saved. Lord, they meet you on your own ground where you paid the debt for their sin. They don't have a righteousness of their own. They have a sinful life and they need to be forgiven. And I ask you, Lord, let us preach the word with power. May you take your word and touch some heart and life, save some soul from hell, encourage other believers. And God, I'd ask you to bless this day and this message and this time. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I was very interested in Brian's oath. I took the same oath. I remember when I first got in, I thought, I made a big mistake. It turned out all right. But I thought, oh no, now then, everybody's telling me what to do. I didn't have any stripes on my arm at all, and anybody that had one stripe or another bossed you. Well, I won't get into my war stories. This is called a Great Commission. It's the mission of the church. Now, we send out missionaries, and I'm thankful. This is a good church. You support our missionaries. We have about seven families that we are a major part of their support. And they're living in another country. They've given up a lot of privileges and blessings of America so they can take the gospel to somebody who needs it. And they work at that. And they give up a lot of things. A lot of things you take for granted, they give up. And I enough money, just support one. Pick one out. Pray for them every day and support them every month. They need it. Amen. They need it. And you ought to be willing to do it. Anyway, what's the mission of the church? Well, I think this is it right here. I don't think the church was meant to be a social club. I don't think it was meant to be a mama's day out. I don't think it was meant to be just teaching, reading, writing, and arithmetic. I think this is the mission of the church and what our missionaries are doing. And what all churches ought to be doing, but most of the churches aren't. They're failing in this thing right here. Preaching the word of God. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Do you believe that?
Amen.
I believe that. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord and King and that he's going to come back and reign for 1,000 years.
Amen.
And then we're going to be with him forever. Wonderful, wonderful promises. He said, all power is given unto him. I'm amazed at what has been done many times. When I first read this as a preacher, I was in the military. I'd gotten saved and surrendered to preach. And I began to read the Bible. And I began to look and see what is my job as a preacher? What am I looking for? What am I expecting? And I read this, and he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. That's a big statement. And he's talking about a great big job.
Yeah.
You know, all nations. All nations. That's what he says. Go ye therefore. You got to go. You got to teach all nations. All nations. He told this to 11 guys that had been with him for a pretty good while, about 3 years. He told them, this is what I want you to do. Go and teach all nations. Now, baptizing in the name, it didn't say names, did it? You notice that's a singular? What is the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? I think it's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I think that's the greatest name ever. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now notice what the first words in verse 20 say. Teaching them. What are we to teach them? Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Did you notice when he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations? That's not a suggestion. It's not a request. It's a command. And any of you ever been in the service know what a command is. Boy, I tell you what, you turn over your life when you make that statement, when you get into that thing. It's a wonderful thing. We need soldiers. We really do. And we need people that are committed. We need soldiers that can obey an order of an officer. Tell you the truth, though, when I read this, when I was in my 20 years old, and I began to read the Bible and wondering what I was supposed to be doing as a preacher of the gospel, and I read this, it staggered me. And if you look at it with me just for a minute, it'll stagger you. There's 9 billion people on the face of this earth, or thereabouts. About that many people have died since Adam. He says, go ye therefore. It's a command to go. Now he said, and teach all nations. He didn't say just teach these certain ones. He said, teach all nations. That's a big job. When you go to Poland, you have to learn to speak Polish. If you go down to Mexico, you got to learn to speak Spanish. You go into Guatemala, you may have to learn how to speak Quiche. Good morning. That's Quiche. I was downtown as a Spurs ball game was breaking up. And I was walking along and I noticed this Indian woman come out of the Spurs game. And she's dressed in all of her finery. In Guatemala, there's about 28 different Indian tribes. And you can tell which tribe it is by the women's dress. The colors they have and the designs they put up on them. And here was this woman in just Guatemalan dress. And she walked out and I said, Hacha Uchwatsla. And she shocked to hear Quiche in San Antonio, Texas. That's about all I know. I did learn Spanish. So I preached to them in Spanish. But he says, all nations, all nations. Back in the 1950s, there were five missionaries down in South America that went back to a bunch of headhunters. And they wanted to reach them for the Lord. And they planned and they prepared and they did all sorts of things. And they went in and the headhunters killed them. All five of them. One of the wives of one of the men, Jim Elliot. Elizabeth Elliot went back into that tribe that killed her husband with a woman with her. And they won those people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and those headhunters became Christians. And Billy Graham was in a European campaign, and he had two or three of the men who killed Jim Elliot as preachers at his campaign. That's doing what Jesus said. Now, I think you got to have a special kind of personality to do that. I don't think I'd handle that do well. But he said, go into all the world. He means for you to go somewhere and do something, doesn't he? Well, are you going anywhere or are you doing anything? If you go out, you might ought to carry tracks with you. You might ought to talk to somebody sometimes. Say, are you saved? Would you like to hear about Jesus? The gospel message is the main ministry and mission of the church. And every church ought to be preaching it. Church is not to say that good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. We are all bad little boys. Every one of us is a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You didn't miss out on that. There's nobody in here good enough to make it in heaven. There's nobody good enough that God would approve to take you to heaven. You don't have a chance of getting close to God without going through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You need a mediator.
Amen.
And the Bible clearly tells us there's only one mediator between God and men. What is it? The man, Christ Jesus. Mary's not a mediator. No priest or preacher is your mediator. Jesus Christ is the one mediator. You know something? That's a tremendous message. But my, how much controversy it brings up. Well, what about all the Muslims? Well, what about all these natives back in the bush? They're going to hell. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I don't care how good you are in the church attendance. I don't care how good you are with your money. I don't care how good you are in your moral character. You don't stand a chance. You know how you were born? You were born selfish. Got any little babies? I had five. Every one of them was selfish. Most of them still are. In fact, I was selfish. I still am. You are too.
Amen.
You may, you know, put your lapel out and say, yeah, look at me. Yeah, I look at you, you're selfish.
Amen.
I can walk through your house and find out just how selfish you are.
Yeah.
I told a fellow one time, one of the preachers that came down with us and preached in the revival meeting, I said, you know, I know I've got proof that I love me more than I love you. And he said, how is that? I said, I bought myself a car and didn't buy you one. Now, that's selfishness. It's nothing but selfishness. That little baby doesn't care if mama's tired and sick. That little baby doesn't care if it's 2 o'clock in the morning. That if he wants to mess his britches, he's going to mess his britches, and you're going to have to clean it up.
Yeah.
Bless your heart. Go ye therefore. The mission of the church is to go. The mission of the church is to teach. The reason why these men were with Jesus for 3 years, so they could be eyewitnesses of what he said and did. That's what you've got in this Bible here. You've got the testimony of men that were with Jesus Christ, and they gave what he said. Wonderful thing. I love it. I began to read this Bible. I got saved, and I had a fellow visiting me. He was a country preacher, well-educated man. He had a college degree, but he just talked country like I do. I talk Texan, you know. And he come to my house. And he began to witness to me and to try to get me to get in good conversation with him. And he stayed till about 11:30. Come to 7:30, stayed about 11:30. I got a little good dose that time. When he left, I read the book of Genesis. I read the first five books of the Bible in the next 5 nights. Now, that's a little chore to do. Those are long books. Some of them aren't all that interesting. A few are. You know what I found out? I found out, wow, this book is something else. I'm so thankful I have a Bible. You know what? I believe my Bible. I believe my Bible more than I believe you. I believe my Bible more than I believe the government. I believe my Bible more than I believe all of the smart aleck people that can go around and make fun of God. And I sure believe my Bible, and I'm not a bit ashamed of it, because atheists really seem stupid to me. Excuse me. They really, I don't care if they got a PhD from MIT. You take a look around here. I've been in doctor's offices this last month, and on the charts there, they showed me these charts, and they show two legs coming down. It shows me all the veins and all the things with it, whatever goes along with it. You tell me that's an accident? That's just a chance? No, no. There's a designer. You ever seen a bridge? You don't get a good bridge without a good designer. What about your eyes? Have you ever seen a chart of your eyes? Fascinating. Do you know how many different kinds of eyes there are in the world? An ant doesn't have the same eye that I have. An elephant doesn't have the same eye that I have or that you have. God Almighty is super smart. Amen. And God Almighty is super powerful. And God Almighty has made some things that ought to fascinate you for the rest of your life. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Really? That's a big job. What are you doing about it? Are you supporting a missionary? Are you passing out tracts? Are you supporting the church? Are you supporting mission families? What are you doing about it? That's not just to me. He said that to 11 of his apostles. 11 of them there. Judas wasn't there. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. By the way, Father's not a name, and Son is not a name, and Holy Ghost is not a name. Jesus is the name. One mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, praise God. No man can come unto the Father but by me. That's out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. That is offensive. Every time you preach it, it offends somebody. You can't preach the gospel without offending. I know a lot of people try, but it doesn't really work because, you see, it's either Jesus or it's nothing. You know, that's the truth. That's the Bible. That's the testimony of the New Testament. You say, well, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I understand that. You think I don't worry about hurting people's feelings, but I do sometimes. But I'd rather tell the truth. I really liked your teaching for Sunday school. If you weren't here, you missed it. Tell the truth. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. And know where you stand and let people know where you stand. Teach him to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He's giving commands. Now, I learned in the military right quickly. My daddy was not one to give commands too much. I mean, my daddy gave advice mostly. And mostly he made me feel like I was an idiot. And yet, I learned a whole lot from him, and I'm thankful for him and whatever. But this is a command. And I learned what a command was, and a command is you obey what you're told to do. And there are consequences if you don't. Well, Christian friend, you're sitting in an air-conditioned room with lights up here and music and whatever. And you've got a responsibility. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God and the only mediator between God and men?
Amen.
Do you believe that He's the only way you can get to heaven and have your sins forgiven? Then you have a responsibility to go. Go somewhere. Go around the block. Go to your family. Or maybe go to one of those native tribes back down there and somewhere on the Amazon River. You talk about guts. You talk about willing to give up a lot of things. Man, oh man. Talk about giving up your life. Well, go ye therefore. Teach all nations, all nations, all nations. Not just the ones you like, just not where you would like to go, all nations. Now, Billy Graham, in the latter part of his ministry, said, we have the opportunity now through radio, television, all this stuff, the communications that we have, to actually preach to the whole world. Now, I'm not sure if any of those guys down in the Amazon River, those headhunters, if they've got a radio or not, or whether they could pick it up on it. But it's a great, big, staggering job, and it's always bothered me, how much could I do? Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can visit people. You can read the Bible to them. You can buy them a Bible. You can give them a Bible. You can invite them to church. By the way, you need to come yourself if you're going to invite them. Some of you are so lazy, you're lazy.
Amen.
You understand me? You're so lazy that you come to church two or three times a year. Where do you think you ought to be? In church. What do you think you ought to be doing? You ought to be praying and giving and going and talking, telling somebody about Jesus. And you ought to be in a church where you demand that as what it ought to be. Church ought to be presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ for lost sinners. And bless your heart, all of us in here are sinners. Why don't you just admit you're a sinner and ask Jesus to forgive your sins?
Amen.
You know what? He'll do it.
Amen.
He'll do it. We sang the song, and of course I'm going to speak about it in just a minute. Look and live. Ah, that's a biblical song. Look and live. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded. You know what He's commanded you? Have you read the book? It's a good book. It's made up of a bunch of books, smaller books. But you know what? Some of those books have some blessed messages in them. Wow. You'll be reading through a few verses and all of a sudden something will stand out and grab your mind and you won't forget it all day long. Give you an opportunity to pray. Do you know that God answers prayer? God says He answers prayer. Do you pray? Do you only pray about your job and your food and your house and your car? Have you ever thought about praying for the world? Praying for everybody in the world that's lost, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that does not have the opportunity that you have, you ought to be praying for them every day. Wow. Look in John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You know the serpent in the wilderness? That's a story in the Old Testament. The children of Israel had been taken out of Egypt. They've been delivered from slavery, and they're going through the desert. And it's a rough go. A lot of things God put me into are a rough go. And this part of life. My daddy went from horse and buggy days to people walking on the moon. And you know something? He didn't have air conditioning where he was born. He didn't even have electricity where he was born. It came in as he stayed there on that farm and worked like that. You think about all the people that went before you. How about your mother and father or your grandfather and grandmother? What did they go through? Don't be too easy to complain. Don't be too easy to find fault. Well, the people are out here. They've been delivered from the slavery of Egypt. They're going through the wilderness, and it's tough. Desert places are tough to be in. You got to have water. You got to have other things. And if you don't know where you're going, well, you're in real trouble when you're in the desert. They began to complain, and they talked against Moses. Well, that wasn't bad enough. They talked against God. They talked against God and against Moses. They're complaining. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like how I feel. I don't like what you've done. Is this the freedom that you promised me? What all this stuff? Do you ever think that God might really get tired of your complaining?
Yeah, amen. Amen.
You live better than most of the people that ever lived. You may be the poorest person in this congregation right here today. You live better than most of the people in the world. And most of the ancestors that have gone on before you. You ought to be thanking God that you have what you have.
Amen.
How about some thanksgiving?
Amen.
How about praising God that you were born in a free country and that you're born where you heard the gospel and that you have a place that you can go to church without being arrested? Praise God. Well, I tell you what, God didn't like it. Did you ever think about not pleasing God? Did you ever think about what the consequences might be of not pleasing God? Well, the Bible says he sent some serpents. He called them fiery serpents. And they begin, I don't know, I've always wondered about the fiery. I've heard different explanations. That the pain was like really burning, or that they were red and yellow colored and looked like fire and things like that. I don't know which it is, but they're called fiery serpents in the Bible. Has some relationship to do with fire. He told Moses, all right, Moses, make a brazen, that's brass, a brass serpent, a likeness of a brass serpent. Put it on a pole, put it in the midst of the camp. And anybody that's bitten, if they'll go and look at that brazen serpent, they'll live. That's simple, isn't it? It seems real simple to me. And I don't know why they should have had such a big problem with it. But as in all things, some people didn't believe it. And they died. And much people died. But the ones that went and looked, all they had to do was go and look. Just believe the message God said and go and look. And they lived. And they got through the fiery serpents and all that and went on to other problems. You know what? We sang that song. I enjoyed it very much. Look and live. Look and live. That's a biblical song. Very much. And that right there is the actual story there. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus was lifted up on a pole, on a cross. He was nailed to that cross. You know what? If you look to him, you'll live. You decide to ignore him, you'll die. You want to complain about how God does things? You're liable to die. How about accepting what God says? Look and live. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Beautiful, beautiful. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever... You know what that word means?
Yeah.
Praise God. Woo! I remember when I first saw that whosoever. You know what I did? I said, I write my name right there. I just got saved. Wow. Whosoever. I'm one of the whosoevers. I can write Lyndall Kincaid in there. If Lyndall Kincaid will believe, he'll be saved. You can write your name in there today if you're here and you're not saved. You just happen to come in and you happen to be in here and you have to put up with us. You can get saved too.
Amen.
All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Call on Him. Ask Him to forgive your sins.
Amen.
He'll forgive you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's what He went to the cross for.
Thank you, Lord.
He went to the cross to pay for your sins.
Amen.
He paid the debt. Wow, what a message. We have a message for the world. The whole world needs the message. And it ought to be our mission to do as much as we can to get the message to the whole world. Now notice in verse 15, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Not just be saved for a year or two until you die of something else. Eternal life. A life like God. And that's exactly what He promises. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, not only will your sins be forgiven, not only will God Himself indwell you, but He will indwell you for eternity, and you will never die. And when this body is laid in the grave, boy, don't be crying for me, man, I just got promoted. Hello, Lord. I'd sort of like to go that way, lay down on my pillow and wake up and say, hello, Lord. I like that better than a car wreck. John 3:16 is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Probably been printed more than probably any other, unless it'd be the 23rd Psalm. For God so loved the world. Are you part of the world? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son.
Lord.
That whosoever, there's that word.
Yes.
Whosoever, you know what that means? Can you take God at His word?
Yes.
Well, then you can read that verse and say, whosoever includes me.
Yes.
If I'll believe, if I'll call, if I'll pray, if I'll come. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise God. Death or life? That's your choice. That was the choice of the people in the wilderness. Death or life. They could believe the message that Moses gave them. Go look at that brazen serpent. It didn't tell them to repent. Didn't tell them to do a whole lot of things. It just said, go look. And you live. But there were people that died anyway. They wouldn't go and look. They would not believe. And that's like it is today. The gospel is going out over the airways. The gospel is going out in many gospel churches. The gospel is going out, man, I don't know how many thousands we put out this Saturday. I appreciate your shoe leather. Carrying it from door to door. And somebody just may be reading that. You know what? My son-in-law was in Fort Hood and he was walking across the grounds and he saw a piece of paper and he picked it up. And it was a gospel tract from the Christian Servicemen Center where Brother Gaylord Chisholm was the leader. He went in there and got saved. He's still saved. He's preaching. We had a lady here for a long time named Marty Latondre. We passed out the little four things God wants you to know just on her door. She kept that track for 2 years. Never showed up. And then she showed up and Billy's wife, Cindy, she sat down right by Cindy. And that day, she called on the Lord and got saved. Sent a letter to the Lord. Do what you can do. Do all that you can do. But get in on the program. Start praying, start giving, start going, start passing something out, start talking. Let somebody know you're a Christian. I'm not saying don't get fired at your job because you're witnessing and they're not paying you to witness. I understand their thoughts on that. But you can be a witness anyway. When they go to drink, you don't have to go drink with them. When they go to cussing and telling dirty jokes, you can just desert and get up and get out of the way. This generation is a nasty generation. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe and live. Simple. That's a message of the cross. Now, and look at Acts chapter 13, verse 1. He gave that command to 11 men. Probably was given again to 70, and then the last we hear, there's a whole bunch of about 120 in an upper room. And then they begin to spread out. And here it tells you just how they started to spread out. They're doing the work of the Great Commission, Acts 13:1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, prophets plural, teachers plural, in one church in Antioch. Barnabas, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, and which it brought up. Look at there. Lucius, Cyrene, Manan, which had been brought up with Herod. These are friends of the king. And Saul, he was among them. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." When they'd fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. That's an ordination. So they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue to the Jews. And they also had John to their ministry. You know where they went? To the Jew first. The Jew was prepared. The Jew had the Old Testament scriptures. The Jew had all those prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ that were going to take place. And you could prove that they were telling the truth. They went to the Jews first. And some of those Jews believed. Some of them didn't. But that's where they went. They went to preach to them as just as straight as they could, and people believed. He says in verse 5, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue to the Jews. They also had John to their ministry. To the Jew first, that's a prepared people. Now, look at Acts 13:26. I want you to notice this verse. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, that's Jews. Whosoever, you ever heard that word?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yes.
Whosoever among you that feareth God. You don't have to be a Jew. You just need to fear God. Whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. You know where God is sending it? To you that fear God. That whosoever includes you. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to go to a temple. You don't have to offer any sacrifices. Just believe. Just believe that the message comes to you. What a message. Verse 38, same chapter 13. Be it known unto you therefore. I want you to understand something, men and brethren. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. You may not think that's very important. It's totally important. God is not a sinner. God does not like sin. You don't like sin when it's against you. Oh, the selfishness that we have. Whosoever among you feareth God. Do you have enough sense to fear God? I am awestruck. I think he's my father. I think I can walk into his presence at any time. I believe he invites me that way. I never had to knock on the door at my daddy's house. I was always welcome at my daddy's house. In fact, my daddy told me when I was getting into some trouble one time, he said, I don't care what trouble you get into, I don't care where it comes out, you can always come home. He didn't say, if you do this, you can't come home. If you do that, you can't come home. He said, you can always come home, son, no matter what your problems. You can always come home. To whosoever among you feareth God. Well, through this man is preached the forgiveness of sins. And look at verse 39. And by him all that believe are justified. That means made as if you had never sinned. You realize? You've been made justified by law. From all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. When they went back, verses 21 to 23, these missionaries went back and they rehearsed what they had done, what places they'd gone to, the examples and everything like that. And when they ordained elders in every church, plural elders in every church, and they reported it to the home church. Now, what is the ministry of this church? This. The Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, he'll be saved. What's the ministry of the missionaries out of this church? We've got 7 families we support. What's their ministry? Same thing. Same thing. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. All nations. All nations, don't worry about the people you don't like. Preach the gospel to them anyway. Then you might learn to like them. What is your ministry? Does God have work for you? Are you just one of those that sits back and takes it easy and you don't have any work? I believe if you read this Bible, you have a work. And it's the same work as the ministry of this church. You ought to be praying for people to get saved. When's the last time you prayed for somebody to get saved? You ought to be praying for people to get their lives right and have their lives changed. My, what a difference. What a difference Christianity makes. What a difference salvation makes. Wonderful. Where are you is your ministry? Everywhere. You got a ministry right here in San Antonio. Good night. How many million people do we have? A couple of million people, and that may not even be counting all the corporate cities that are inside of us and those that are close to us. I grew up in a town of 250,000. Was it 2.5 million now or something like that? And everybody from California, New York, and Mexico is moving to San Antonio. We can't get the roads big enough, fast enough. You got a mission field right here. You don't have to go to the Amazon. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go to Chechnya or wherever. You got a missionary field right here in San Antonio. You got neighbors on your streets. I was visiting one day. I've covered this area many times. I've been here, 50 years. I was knocking on doors back over here. Fine teenage young man, Hispanic young fella, was sitting on his porch. I walked up to him and greeted him. I asked him if he went to church. No. You ever been in a church? Not that he knew of. I said, did you ever hear the story of David and Goliath? No. Don't know what you're talking about. Did you ever hear about the 3 Hebrew children and the fiery furnace? No. How about the flood? That boy was a teenager and he didn't know any Bible stories at all. They're all over San Antonio. They're all out here. They don't believe and they don't care. Now, a lot of smart fellows that are really smart and they've got their degrees and they may be very sharp-witted. Let me tell you something. Anybody that does not believe in God after looking at what God has created, and just to look at your own body, your eyes, your ears, your tongue, your muscles, the blood, and you think that's an accident, you're an idiot. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There is a God. And you're going to meet him. Believe it or not, you're going to meet him. You need to meet him dressed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You don't need to meet him dressed in your own clothes. You don't need to meet him in your little good works. You don't need to meet him in all the great money that you spent giving help to other people. You don't need to meet him with the example of your testimony of Christianity. You need to meet him in the blood of Jesus Christ. You need to meet him in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You need to meet him with your debt is paid, not by you. One mediator between God and man. One, only one. This preacher is not your mediator. Your priest is not your mediator. Saint Peter can't be your mediator. Mary can't be your mediator. It's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he answers prayer. He'll save your soul if you ask him to. Just ask him for forgiveness. Believe what he said. Then take your Bible and read maybe the Gospel of John, Book of Romans or whatever. Get into the Bible and find out what it says. I witness testimony to the life of the greatest person that was ever born. God walking around in human flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and sing, "Just As I Am." If God has spoken to your heart in any way, you want to come down and pray, or if you would like to accept Christ as your Savior today, come down and give me a handshake and tell me you want to trust Jesus as your Savior.